Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter number 11, and verse 25 will be our text tonight. I know, as I mentioned earlier this morning, this is, I did entitle this series, One Confused Parent to Another, but the principles are timeless, whether you have children or not, but I think everybody in here has got kids or grandparents, and that's awesome. But it'd still be a blessing to you. Now, in this series, I've been talking about, you know, things that are going to help us. We talked about how that authenticity builds credibility. Have you ever come to a place in your child's life where they stop listening to you? Where it's like a light switch went on. Somebody flipped the switch, and now they don't listen. They don't hear you. There was a time when you were their hero. There was a time when you when they hung on every word. Well, now they don't want to be around you. And it's all of a sudden, it's like, what happened? And you think, well, it's just puberty. It's just teens. It's just, no, we all go through this. And one of the things is that credibility builds, authenticity builds credibility. When we're authentic, when we are an authentic representation of Jesus Christ, it builds credibility. And when we lose that authenticity, when we make a mistake and don't apologize for it, when we sin and don't apologize for it, when we get self-indulge and don't come back and go, wait a second, that was wrong, I should have done that, please forgive me. And you can get along with anybody with these basic words. I'm sorry, I was wrong, I'm sorry, please forgive me. You know, those nine words will fix just about any relationship on the planet. But when we don't do that, the Bible tells us that we provoke our children to wrath. That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 6. So in this series, we talked about, how do I have that authentic Christianity? How do I be that authentic Christian or the representation of Jesus Christ so that I can build credibility? Because if all you do is try to exercise your authority, you're only going to get so far. That's how it works. Remember when you were a teenager? And how many of you out here had a parent who said, do it because I said so? I was that way, right? You know, and I either got the toe of the boot or the smack on the head, and I deserved it, and I needed it, and praise the Lord. My dad and mom were wonderful people. But the truth is, there was a time when my dad became the village idiot, and we couldn't get along. And what had happened was, somehow somebody had stolen my heart, or I'd given my heart to someone else. Typically, it was my group of friends that I ran with. And then I would find areas in dad's life that where he fell short, in my opinion. And thus he lost credibility. And when he lost credibility, he lost influence. And when he lost influence, he lost authority. So we want to talk about how to build that back. Well, how do I do that? Well, one of the ways is, the first message in this series was called, If God's Against It, Then So Am I. There can't be any standards. I know you're in Hebrews. Just, you can hold your hand there. But in Ephesians chapter 6, it says here in verse number 4, and fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. How do we do that? Well, double standards. If it's good for the goose, then it's good for the gander. It just really is. If it's not good for them, it's not good for you. So if God's against it, then so am I. But if God's for it, then so am I. It's just that simple. If God's for it, then so am I. I have to be for it. Because when we come to church and we say we're for this because God's for this, but when we go home and we don't, then it's like, you know, it works this way on the job too. You know, you guys, there's always somebody on the job, and we usually call them some crude name, when they suck up to the boss, but behind their back, they don't really follow through. They've lost credibility. They have no influence. And they dead sure have no authority in your life. I don't care what their stripe, how many stripes they got on their arm. If you don't have to, you won't obey them. Why? Because they have no credibility. They lost it by not being authentic. Number two, every sin has its origin in the heart. Every sin. Proverbs 4:23, if you're taking notes, it all starts here. We have to capture the heart of our children. How do we do that? By relationship. Rules have to be there, yes, but rules without relationship breed rebellion. That's how it works. And so you've got to build that. You've got to capture their heart. Now remember, every time you or your child steps out of your home, I want you to imagine there's a string from your heart to their heart, and every time you step out of the home, the world cuts it. And you have to spend time with them every day retying them. Hey, it works that way for your wife too and your husband. You got to retie those strings. Remember, ever play with two soup cans and a string and make a little phone? I want you to imagine that. Have you tied the strings with your wife this week? Have you tied strings with your husband? Have you tied strings with your son or daughter? Have you? You know, we think we talk to them. But it's shocking. If I actually sit down and think about what have I actually said to my kid this week? A lot of yes, no, hey. No, don't, stop, wait, come here. You know? Blah, 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 blah. But have I really talked to them? Listen, all sin starts in their hearts. We have to capture their heart. You're here tonight because God's got a hold of your heart. And if they are going, what is it we want to do? We want our children to grow up and have their own walk with God. You know, they say you pay for your raising by raising your own, but the quality of raising is seen in how your grandkids turn out. Because your kids become parents one day. That's that all scare the pudding out of you. Scares the pudding out of me. We were 22. I was 22 when I got married. I have two children over that age already, and they're not married. And I'm kind of like, holy cow, you ain't ready. One's 26. I'm like, you ain't ready. No, you ain't ready. Another one's 22. I'm like, you ain't ready. I don't know how ever we were, but we did. But I'd given my heart away. And your children will give their heart to somebody. It was made to give away. Who has it? Who has their heart? Is it somebody who's safe? And you need to recapture that. Last week, we looked at the fact that it's easier to keep. How do I maintain a Christian testimony? Well, it's easier to keep your heart clean than to clean it up after you've defiled it. We looked at that last week. Do you remember that? A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. We know what our problems are. We know where our areas of sin are. And I'll tell you the truth. It's easier in the long run if we'll just say no on the front end and take the way of escape that God always provides because we grieve the Holy Spirit. Right? Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. We grieve the Spirit. We grieve him. And when the temptation comes, take the way of escape. That's what we talked about last week. There's always a way of escape. You ever heard somebody say, well, God won't give you more than you're able to handle? That is not true. What it says is, there has no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. Other people have gone through this. 1 Corinthians 10:13. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. If you're too silly, too dumb, or too into the flesh to take the way of escape, trust me, you're going to fall. That's why you don't travel with the opposite sex, guys. That's why you take different planes, you ride in different cars, you make some excuse, you take the red eye. You do not do that if at all possible. Now, if you're going overseas with 300 of your best friends and they're all heavily armed, you're okay. Travel in groups, travel in packs, it's always good. You understand what I'm saying? Let's be honest with each other. You know, I used to think I was pretty impervious to that kind of foolishness. And you think no, but I understand. I used to have to work with females. And it just, we'd be traveling and doing stuff, and you're just like, you're not as tough as you think you are. All right? So remember, all sin starts in your heart. So you better get your heart right. And you better guard it. Number three, you realize that it's easier to clean up your life. It's easier to keep your heart clean than to clean it up after you mess it up. It'd have been better to just say no. See, the thoughts come in your head all the time, and we do this with our phones. We get on the news feeds and we swipe. Man, I don't want to talk to them. No, I don't want to talk to them. Stop following that person. You know, you do this, right? You unfollow but remain friends because sometimes you'll want to stalk them if they're acting stupid. But anyway, you'll do this and you'll swipe. You realize the thought that came in your head may not be the thought you thought you thought. So swipe it aside. Just go, I'm not going to think on. No, I'm not going to think on. No, pass that down. Because anything you grab hold of and pull down and muse upon, you've given it authority in your life and it affects your heart and it grieves the Holy Spirit. So you need to be the one. Because that otherwise he would have never said whatever is just, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, with any virtue, any praise, think on these things. Think on these things as a command. We're supposed to choose what we think about. You know, you can't keep a bird from landing on your head, but you dead sure can keep them from building the nest. Cast it aside. All right? So you fight. So tonight I want to talk to you about dealing with appetites. You and I and our children have appetites of the flesh. You cannot fight a fleshly appetite by indulging in it. Yeah, I told you to go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse 25. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse 25. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 25. Look what the Bible says. It says, now this is talking specifically about Moses. I get that. And Moses, when he came to years, went out and saw his brethren and the burdens they were under. But it says here in verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Now look at that last phrase. Than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Is there pleasure in sin? Yes. Try to convince your kids otherwise and they'll think you're a raving idiot. All right, there is pleasures in sin. Is sin fun? Yeah. It is. And the ironic thing is, the devil gives them all the fun up front. And then it's a lifetime of regret. Where the Lord says, no, do it. Do delayed gratification with the Lord. He says, trust me, when we get there, you're going to love it. You know, so he makes you wait. He grows you. He stretches you. And then the blessings come. So you see, the devil, because his promises are hollow and because his blessings are garbage, he has to give you all the fun up front and then it's a lifetime of regret. There is pleasure in sin for a season, but you cannot fight a fleshly appetite by indulging in it. You cannot, look, I can't improve my physical health with an unhealthy appetite, all right? This body was created by John Mix, Snickers, Oreos, and Mountain Dew. This is how I got here. Okay, yeah, a body by mix, that's what it really is. And listen, I can't improve my physical health by continuing to indulge in the things that are not good for me. Right? I cannot fix or improve my spiritual health by indulging the sins that have been my old habits. You know, we all have those, the old habits of sin that are just, one old preacher called them the well-worn paths. You know, I was walking the property this week and praying and looking at things, and there's a path. You can see where the deer have worn a path up this one side and down our side here. It's just a well-worn path that gets beaten down by the hooves of the deer and the fox, and we call it a game trail. I get that. But in your heart and in your soul, there are well-worn paths of sin that is kind of our go-to. And the thing is, you cannot satisfy your flesh with just a little. Take your Bible, go to Ecclesiastes, middle of the Bible, and just to the right of dead center, you'll find the book of Ecclesiastes. And this is a guy who knew what sin was like and sin was about. Ecclesiastes 5:10. Look what it reads here in Ecclesiastes 5:10. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. J.D. Rockefeller was asked, how much money is enough? And he said, just a little more. Look at Ecclesiastes 5:10. He that loveth silver, if covetousness is your go-to, silver will not satisfy you. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanities. See, appetites are developed desires of our flesh. Look at Proverbs. You're right there in Ecclesiastes. Go back a page or two to Proverbs 30 and verse 15. He's trying to, the Solomon who wrote this is trying to explain, or Agur, the son of Jacob, is trying to explain how sin and covetousness gets a hold of us. He likens it, that fleshly desire, to a horse leech. You ever seen a horse leech? They're monsters. They're big old leeches like this. And they just, you know what a leech does? You know how a leech feeds? It sucks the blood out of you. It's nasty to get off. The horse leech has two daughters crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, things that say not, it is enough. The grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and fire that saith not, it is enough. These are never satisfied. Now, we all have fleshly appetites. We kind of come pre-wired with it, you know, like it starts with breast milk and then we start feeding the baby's food and rice to fill them up. But isn't it interesting how you can feed a child canned or jarred baby vegetables, but when you get them to the table, they won't eat the broccoli? Have you ever noticed that? How do you develop an appetite for that?
Well, you have to make them eat a little bit of it or find different ways to make it. Mrs. Mix has found out she just covers it in Velveeta. Anything's edible, right? I'm telling you, Brussels sprouts are edible if you cover them in Velveeta.
So what are your appetites? Let's be honest. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to say a word. But in your mind, you know what they are. Now, if you're not sure, ask your spouse. If your spouse is in here, she'll share that. She'll figure that out for you.
But the truth is, what are your appetites? What is it you, and good or bad, what is your appetite?
I had a lady in our church in Arkansas who was addicted to working out. And she loved the endorphin rush, and that woman was working every single day. There's a little blonde gal that just runs in Kingstown, and she is like a gazelle. Every time you see her, I don't know if it's raining, I don't care if it's snowing, I don't care if there's snow everywhere, that little gal is just trucking. I think she's addicted to it. I unfortunately am not addicted to working out. So what is it that you have what appetites? Do you have a problem with lying? Do you have a problem with covetousness? Is it deep fried Oreos? Is it you got to have something sweet after every meal? Is it soda? Is it wine? I don't know, but think about it. It's a, listen, an appetite is a fleshly, I don't know, it's a desire that is built into our flesh. So when you start to think about the things in your life that you would like to change, maybe you got a sharp tongue. Maybe you're really sarcastic and it's becoming toxic in your home. Maybe you've got a kid like that. How do you fix that? Well, you got to take a responsibility and realize it's no one else's fault but you. If it's your appetite. Listen to what it says in Jeremiah 31 and verse 29. In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But every one shall die for his own iniquity, and every man that eateth sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. You realize I've lived longer outside my mother's house than I have in. At some point, I have to come face to face with the fact that this is my appetite. I can't blame that on mom and dad anymore. But you realize you have to not only train your appetites, you have to train the appetites of your children. You have to train them. You have to feed them good things physically, but you also need to feed them good things spiritually. I have a friend who became friends with me after my kids were pretty much grown. But to spend time with his kids and to build a godly appetite for physical workouts, he and the kids would go for a walk every day on a different trail. And that just got built into them. Now they're teenagers and graduating high school, and they're still doing it. Out just walking and enjoying nature. What kind of music do you have an appetite for? Now, I'm not saying what kind of appetite. You know what music your flesh likes. But what do you have an appetite for? Listen, there are songs that come on the radio. If I walk into a business, I know what they are. Now, the scary thing is that I was a metalhead back in the 80s, and now that's on the elevator. Isn't that crazy? You start hearing, when you know you're old, when you hear heavy metal being dumbed down to be on an elevator. No, seriously, I know the songs. I know the words to all the songs. Do you remember the words to all the songs? Do you? If I say a song like, "He's just a small town girl," you know that. We all know it. Our children know them. "I love you." You love me. See, we all know it. We teach our kids this, we teach ourselves this, and it's a well-worn path. And I'm not just saying this is sinful and this is sinful. I'm just saying, will you recognize, first of all, will you take responsibility to recognize you have appetites? And what appetites are they? And if they're double standard to where it's okay for you but it's not okay for your kids, you're going to provoke them to wrath. You no longer are authentic, and you're no longer credible, and thus you no longer have influence, and thus you have no authority. Because anybody they'll rebel against you for has their heart. Whoever they'll sneak out at night to go be with has their heart. Whoever they like to show off for and do crazy things for has their heart. Now think back to when you were teenagers, gentlemen. Who would you show off for? Who would you rebel against your parents for, disobey your parents for, to be with? Night or day, I'd drive. She was 35 miles away,
And I'd work from 6 in the morning till like 4 or 5 in the afternoon, and I'd drive 30 miles, and I'd stay there till midnight, and I'd drive home, get up and do it again. Get up and do it again. Get up and do it again. And my mother's like, you don't need to be doing that. And I'm like, well, I'm just in love. And I'm not saying, I'm just saying, you know what I'm talking about. Who has your heart? Who has your children's hearts? Remember, this is a spiritual battle. So determine that God is right about this. Decide to put it in your heart. God is right about this. We have appetites, and we need to decide which ones we're going to keep and which ones we're going to put in. Hebrews 12:9 says, furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Brothers and sisters, have you ever had a moment with God where you allowed him to do, like, you know, maybe an annual review? How many of you had an annual review this year? Anybody? It's COVID. You've had one. The Navy's doing it. The Army's not. The Coast Guard's not. Okay, I get that. So the Navy does annual reviews. Okay. Have you ever sat through one of them where they are asking all kinds of questions? They're going through all areas, whether your time management or how you're doing your duty or your attitude, your interaction, there's 100 of them, and you go through them all. Have you ever let God do an annual review? I mean, when you got face to face and you got real with Jesus and he let him to say, you know what? There's this thing we need to talk about. In James chapter 1 and verse 14, the Bible says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. See, we need to do something about this. Proverbs 23:2 says, put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Now, you cannot fight an appetite or change an appetite by playing in it or indulging in it. Number two, you cannot fight this alone. Take your Bible, go to Matthew 19 and verse 26. You're not going to be able to change your appetites on your own. And you think, well, why is that? Because you haven't yet. Matthew 19 and verse 26. And Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men... this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. You know, you and I try to fight it in the flesh, and we try to use fleshly means, like trying to wean ourselves off of something. Eventually, we go back into that well-worn path. You need the power of God in your life. You need God helping you to do this. This is a spiritual battle. The Bible says, for we wrestle not with flesh and blood, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, with principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In Galatians 5:17, the Bible says, the flesh lusteth, or desires control, lusteth against the spirit, and spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other. So you cannot do the things you would. You got to recognize you have them. Number two, you've got to let God decide which ones you ought to keep and which ones you ought to put in. Number three, you got to decide it's worth it. You need his power, and you need to decide the victory is worth it. Counting the cost is worth it. So you're going to have to make the change. Make the change, but it's going to be a fight. Take your Bible, go to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 25. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 25. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Paul liked to use sports illustrations. And this is talking about an Olympiad, somebody who would compete in the Olympics. Every man that striveth for the mastery, if they want the gold medal, they are temperate or self-controlled or disciplined in all things. Now they, those that are in the Olympics, do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. I know what it is I'm trying to accomplish. I know who I'm trying to please. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. This is not shadow boxing. But I keep, look at that, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Now, the opposite of this is you trying to quit something that's in your face all day. If you're trying to quit drinking soda and your spouse is drinking it all the time, and your body screams for it. Have you ever had anybody else have that happen? Just not me. Just only me? Only me? You know what I'm talking about. When I say, when Paul says, I got to keep my body, I got to bring it in a headlock and bring it into and make it submit. Why? Because it screams to me. Listen to me. Ms. Mix and I are on keto, and there are cookies in the cupboard that call my name. They call my name. Because we get up and we walk around and we're bored. You know, dieting's not just about eating. It's about habits and behaviors. That's why cigarettes are so tough. It's not just the nicotine. It's the habit of putting something in your mouth. That's why dip is hard. It's hard. Why? Because it's not just the nicotine. It's the behavioral habit. Nobody else struggles with this. And nobody else had a problem with that. Oh, okay, good. Well, okay, I'll move on then. You got to keep your body. Listen, it'll fight you. So you can't do this by yourself. You're going to need an accountability partner. You're going to need your spouse on the team. You're going to need your kids on the team. And then you're going to need God. But when it comes to an evil, fleshly, wicked appetite, starvation of that appetite is the only option. You have to starve the flesh. And I'm not talking about food. I'm talking about whatever your problem is. Just think, you know what your appetites are. If you like to gossip, especially when you're around Miss So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so, how do you stop that? You got to stay away from them. Hey, you know what? I'm glad you called, but I'm in the middle of something. Because you can feel the conversation going about, well, did you hear about so-and-so? Listen, we'll talk about, listen, I can't talk right now. You need to, why? If that's your appetite, you need to starve it. We need to change it. Look at Proverbs 25 and verse 15. Proverbs 25 and verse 15. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 15. By long forbearance is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it. Do you understand what he's saying? That by long forbearing, that constant day in, day out, it's in your face, you're being offered it, you will fall. If you're doing this by yourself, if you're not relying on the power of the Holy Spirit, if you're not bringing your body into subjection, you're going to fall. Transference therapy doesn't work well. Now, I praise God for the 12-step programs that are out there, but it transfers your dependence to attending meetings. It just does. It works, though. Praise God. A lot of people, a lot of my friends have used it. But for us, do you understand? The goal is to never have to go back to a meeting and never have to drink again. That's victory. What are you transferring? Well, I stopped this and started doing this. And you know, Christians are to transfer our dependence to the power of the Spirit. I praise God for the 12-step program. I'm not bashing them. Praise God for them, the great things they've done. And praise God, I encourage people to go to it. But remember, what's the ultimate goal for every single person? Not just to be saved and baptized, but to be walking filled with the Spirit and submitting to the Spirit and surrendering to the Spirit rather than the flesh. And that's who we depend on. That's why it says Galatians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's why Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Replacement therapy doesn't work either because you're only pacifying it. You know what I'm talking about. You ever get the, we call it hankering, where when you get the hankering for Chinese food and you drive to the best Chinese restaurant in Fairfax County only to find out the doors are closed because they're remodeling the kitchen. Oh, you didn't know that? I'm sorry. I just gave you all an appetite for Chinese food. Any Chinese place that has a color in the name, don't go to. They've let me down every time. All right, but you go down there and you're like, we're still hungry. What will we do? So you stop and get a pizza and you eat it, but you were really hungry for. See, replacement therapy didn't really work. Who remembers Fin-Fin? Okay, just me and Ms. Mix. Okay, back in the 80s and 90s, there was this little pill called Phentermine Flinfluramine, and it was willpower in a bottle. I'm not kidding. You were like on speed and an appetite suppressant. You took one of those, And bless God, you could go all day working yourself to death and come home after just like, and get up after 3 hours of sleep and go do it again. And look, you wouldn't eat all day and you'd look at a pizza and go, no, thank you. Wouldn't it be great if you had spiritual willpower like that? No, the flesh screams. The Bible says that even to a hungry man, he dreams of food. So we have to replace our old appetites with new ones. What are your appetites? Is it anger? Is it anxiety? Is it bitterness? Is it complaining? Is it covetousness? Is it discouragement? Is it doubt? Is it fear? Is it unforgiveness? Is it fornication? Is it gossip? Is it, I don't know, there's a whole list of them here. How do I fix it? How do I change? How do I pick the right one? Well, take your Bible and go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. I don't know if you've ever done this, but if you've ever read a book on rearing children, the majority of the book is about how to get the parents to discipline themselves. I don't know if you've ever done that, but that's what it is. Because once you get yourself under control, you then can get your children under control. In John 8, and you think, well, that's terrible. No, it's the way it works. John 8 and verse 31. Now remember, in John 14, it says, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he that cometh unto the Father, but by no man cometh unto the Father, but by me. So in John 8 and verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on him. That means they were saved. If ye continue in my word, that means you get to know Jesus through the word of God, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth. Do you see that? Ye shall know the truth. You'll know Christ through it. And the truth, that's Jesus, shall make you free. Do you see that? How do you do this? Well, you get to know Christ through the Bible. You walk with him. You find verses that are dealing with these appetites that you need to starve out, and you memorize those scriptures. If you've got a problem with anger, you look at Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 17. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 17, the Bible reads, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. We act like a fool when we get angry. And a man of wicked devices is hated. Is it anxiety? Is it anxiety that you struggle with? Look at Philippians chapter 4. Maybe you're anxious, and that's a real condition. I'm not saying people are crazy. I'm saying that's a real condition. It happens to people. Well, Philippians 4, verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything. That means everything that makes you nervous, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, because if you ask God, you need to believe he's going to come through because he said he would. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God. If you'll do that, verse 7, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. As you're reading your Bible, and you need to stop and say, Holy Spirit, can you speak to me, please? I'm having a struggle in this area. And then you start reading. And when a verse jumps out, you need to stop. And that needs to be your meditating verse for today. You need to write it down. You need to memorize it. Or if you know you got a problem, maybe you're saying, I have a problem with gossip. Okay, so you go to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13, and this becomes your memory verse for today. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13, the Bible reads, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers, and also busybodies, speaking things they ought not. Do you do that? Well, then memorize that verse. I shouldn't be speaking things that I ought not. I shouldn't be a busybody. I shouldn't be a tattler. You do this through the Word of God. You know, like I said, I have to find a way to take out a bad appetite and put in a good one. And when I start to do it, it's going to be awkward. You know, your kids are going to be that way when you try to direct their appetites. What kind of music do they like? Used to be you could walk into a boy's room and you'd see what was important to them on the wall. They don't do that anymore, do they? None of my boys ever. Well, they put the Hulk up, you know, or they put up Captain America. But when I was a teenager, there was no square inch of painted wall that wasn't covered with some sort of a poster. And it was usually, you know, something from a band with a girl on it. You know, I just, you think, well, that's just not how things are done today. Okay, but it's on here. There are apps you can put on their phone. Seeing how you pay for it. There are apps you can put on their phone that will send you every email, every text, every... Well, that's invading their privacy. They don't get to have privacy until they're an adult. Well, I don't agree with you. Okay. Did you know the door on their bedroom is a privilege? I mean, seriously, let me free you for a second. Who owns that house? Who pays that mortgage? Who bought that bed? Who bought that dresser? Who bought those clothes? Who pays for all that stuff? The person who does all that should be the one in charge. I love you, but I have two adult children who live in my house that know their boundaries because they live in my house, and if they don't like it, they can move out. Isn't that what your mother told you? Isn't that why you moved out as fast as you could, as soon as you could? Only to realize 5 or 6 months later how good it felt to put your feet under her table again after you'd been out for 6 months eating Oscar Mayer or Bar S or whoever, whatever bologna you used to eat, come back and have food. I told my kids the other night, you realize when you move out on your own, you don't eat as good as you do here. You just don't, because mama cooks and uses spices, and it's good. My brothers and sisters, don't be afraid to deal with your appetites first, and then direct the appetites of your children. Many of the appetites I fight with now, I developed as a teenager. A lot of the bad habits. You ask anybody. Be honest with yourself. And say, when did I start having this? Well, we started it when I was a teenager and I didn't think anything of it. I didn't think it was bad. And now I'm fighting it. Why did they have to do the things to you in basic trainings they did to you? Because you did not come to them disciplined. So they had to teach it to you. And it was radical. Because it was what? How long was yours? 6 weeks or eight? 9 weeks. 9 weeks. How about the Navy? 8 weeks, less than the Army. Okay, what about the Coasties? Eight. Amen. There you go. But seriously, am I right or wrong? You had to be taught. Okay, if we want the world to teach them, then we just let them go and do their thing. I don't know about you, but my desire is that my children will avoid the things I did. Maybe I'll find a different way to teach them. I'll use every good, bad example I can find. Take them soul winning. Let them step over beer bottles and crack pipes to find a family that's living in squalor because their daddy or their mama's a drug addict. And they'll understand, I don't need to mess with that. And you say, that's judgy. No, I used to take my kids down the beer aisle at Walmart and say, you want to be on your own? You want to live out there behind the dumpster? You want to have no family and no friends? Then you drink this stuff. This is liquid stupid. And you're like, no. No, I did. Why? Because Pastor Mix has consumed liquid stupid. And I know what it's like. And I wish to God I hadn't. Why do we tell our kids not to chat with people they don't know on the internet? Why do we tell them that? It's dangerous because pedophiles come on there like an eighth grade boy and talk to little girls and little boys and try to convince them to meet them somewhere. Why do you lock up your guns? Why do you teach your kids not to mess with them? Because they'll get hurt or dead. Why don't we teach our kids not to mess with other things? That the world will just have to beat out of them later if we don't teach them now. Well, how do I do that, preacher? You need to walk with God. You need to read your Bible. You need to meditate on verses. Memorize them so that they become part of you. And then let the Holy Spirit and you meditate on them. Read God. Read what God wrote. You know, you get to know Christ by reading what he wrote,
by asking him questions in prayer, by being with Christ in church, because where two or more are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. You need to listen to his voice when he leads you and talks to you. And you need to talk to people who know him better. And you need to replace an undisciplined life with one that is structured, where you're reading your Bible, where you're spending time in fellowship with like-minded Christians, where you're serving. You're not just taking in, you're giving out. Let your kids see you live it. Because they don't become what we say, they become what we are. And if we'll replace old influences with new ones. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 5. How to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5 and verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms. See, verse 18 says, but be filled with the Spirit, semicolon. Then he shows you how. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I realized that when my sons turn 18, they're going to go out and do whatever they want. Right? They're going to be, so it's not isolation. I didn't go shave our head and move into a commune and cut off everything. But someday they're going to step out of our home and they have got to learn to function in this world. So they need to know how to deal with porn. They need to learn how to deal with backbiting and gossip. They need to learn how to deal with bullies. They need to learn how to deal with people who want to just use them for a self-esteem boost. They need to know when they're being scammed and they're lied to. They need to know these things. And you're the one God has tasked to teach them. But the minute we don't represent Christ as an authentic Christian, we lose our credibility and they start looking for answers elsewhere. And then when we've lost credibility, we've lost our ability to influence. And at the moment you realize it, you need to capture it back. Not by violence or abuse, but by lovingly spending time with them and reattaching those heartstrings back and forth. And if it's you being a bad example, you need to fess up to it. You need to say, you know what? I'm sorry I got angry. And that's not the way to behave. And I apologize. It's not anger is not an adult emotion. Anger is a childish behavior. And we need to admit it. And when we said we were going to do something and didn't do it, even though it's not our fault that we weren't able to do it, the kids don't realize that. We need to pull them aside and say, I know Daddy promised this, and even though this happened, I'm sorry, and I need to make this right, because I promised you. Because if they can't believe Mom and Dad's promises, how are they ever going to believe God's promises? Nah, are you tracking? I know I'm kind of just all over the place, but you can't fight a fleshly appetite by indulging in it. And our appetites are developed desires in the flesh, and we all have them, and we need to change out the bad ones, the ungodly ones, and transfer in godly ones. We need to replace them and live that disciplined life and live the scripture, be the authentic Christian, so that when we mess up, we can immediately apologize, not just to the Lord, but to those who are following us and say, I'm sorry. Daddy should have did that differently, and I'm sorry. And that way, you regain that credibility. Because don't you want them to be able to come to you when they mess up and go, it was me, and I'm sorry. Because that's how they have to walk with God once they leave your home. They have to learn to go back to God and say, I'm sorry, I messed up. And they need to learn how to interact in this world and not let the world's temptations and enticements bring their flesh up to where their flesh is in charge. Because that's how the devil attacks your kids. The devil attacks you. He uses the world's allurements to entice your flesh. Then you're tempted, which is not a sin, by the way. You're tempted just like Christ was tempted in the wilderness, which is not a sin. But when we don't deal with temptation correctly, it becomes an appetite. And then it's something that takes control of our lives. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Who has your heart? Who has the heart of your children? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who has their heart?
Do you recognize that it's easier to clean up your life and your heart before you are tempted than after? It's easier to say no than to clean it up later. And you can't do this on your own. You need the Lord, and you need your family on your team to do it with you. But you have to replace the bad with the good. Our Father and our God, we love you. In the next few moments, Father, I ask that you'd bring to mind to every person, not just here, but are watching online right now, the many that are watching online, I pray, Father, please, you would bring to mind areas of our life that are out of control, that are undisciplined, that are well-worn paths of sin that have become appetites. And Father, that wear us out and we give in to. And Father, even though it's uncomfortable to admit it, Father, lead us to repentance. And Father, even though it'll be awkward and to put new into our life, God, lead us to the appetites that bring you glory. The habits that make us usable. And may our children fall in love with the person we say we love. May they want to know the Jesus that we know. May we present him in a way that makes him attractive to them, that they would desire to know him personally. Forgive us where we have failed, Father. Help us to make it right. We ask this in Jesus' name. The altar is open, brothers and sisters, or you can pray where you are. Name this aptly, one confused parent to another, because I have not won this battle yet. I have not been successful in all areas of my life. So maybe it should be one parent in need to another parent in need. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we can know you personally and intimately. And Father, that knowledge of Jesus Christ sets us free. Now, Father, as we go in fellowship, bless our time of fellowship. And Father, tonight, we are just thankful for the opportunity to be among friends. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Frank has a couple quick announcements. Just a